All right, y'all, we are back with the Stacks. My name is Tracy Thomas, and I am your host here at this bookish podcast. This week, I have actress Vella Lavelle, who you may know from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend and the movie The Big Sick. Before I dive into my interview with Vella, I just wanted to do a little housekeeping around here. First things first, please subscribe to The Stacks wherever you get your podcasts. If you do listen to us on iTunes, please rate and review the show. You can find us on social media. We're all over. We're on Instagram at The Stacks Pod. We're on Facebook as just The Stacks. And then we're on Twitter as at Stacks Podcast. So please follow us, interact with us. We love to hear from you. So if you have things that you hear this week and you're like, no, I got to chime in, please chime in. I also want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Audible. They have over 180,000 book titles for you to choose from. If you're a listener to this podcast, all you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/thestacks. You get a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook download. That's an amazing offer for anybody. So I hope you will take advantage of it. Okay, this week I'm joined by Vella Lavelle. We discuss reading from an actor's point of view, good books for the soul, and why it doesn't matter so much how you read, it just matters that you do read. I hope you guys will enjoy this episode. Here's Vella. Okay, y'all, we're here. We're back at the Stacks. Today, my guest is Vella Lavelle, actress, extraordinaire. You may know her, or if you do know her, you know her from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend on the CW or from Academy Award nominated film. I said that, Academy Award nominated, The Big Sick. Vella, welcome to the Stacks.
And thank you so much for having me.
I'm very excited that Vella is here. She and I go way back to college days. Mm-hmm. We were big Shakespeare loser nerds together in college, and you're going to find out a whole lot more about that later today, but also next week when we talk about Tracy Chevalier's book, New Boy, which is a Hogarth Shakespeare adaptation or retelling of Othello. Read the book. We have so much to talk about next week.
So much.
Like, don't miss out on this. Okay, Vella, let's talk about you. Do you want to do a real intro for yourself besides just your credits?
I mean, that's really all there
is.
That's
all you are.
That's all I am.
Just a few credits.
Yeah, just like a kind of overview of me.
Yeah, tell the people about you.
Hello, people. so I actually was born in Southern California, and then my mom and I moved to New Mexico when I was a wee little one. And grew up in Southern New Mexico and then mostly in Santa Fe.
So you have a lot of turquoise.
Lots of turquoise, lots of sunsets, lots of hippies. And then I went to boarding school in Interlochen, Michigan for piano. And then I went to the big city. Where I met Tracy.
New York City.
That's New York. That's the Big Apple. And my dreams really were to be Felicity. CW show, right?
Yeah.
Or the WB. What was Felicity?
I think it was WB. Was there a CW back then?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't the, it was the, what would be the future
yes,
CW.
Yes.
Felicity.
So you are living your dreams.
I'm living my dreams. Oh my God, I didn't realize
You're
it until now.
Show.
It happened. So I really wanted to be Felicity and like work at Dean and DeLuca and go to NYU.
Sure.
And then I walked in my first day and I had a goth roommate. So it was like.
I don't really know Felicity well.
You don't?
I mean, I thought she went to Stanford. Oh, no, she was going to go to Stanford.
No, she went to NYU.
I don't know.
I feel like everyone goes to New York to live out a TV show or a movie. So what did
sure.
what were you trying to live out?
I went to New York to be in Chorus Line.
Okay.
My favorite musical.
To be in Chorus Line.
I thought maybe they would do a revival starring me as all the parts.
As all of the parts.
Because I do know all the parts to Chorus Line.
As you should.
I was in it in high school. I got to
play. Who did you play?
Tits and Ass. Val. Duh.
Oh my God.
I had to wear four bras. And we had to stuff them. But I didn't have to do anything for the ass part.
No, like, you had that.
Nailed it.
You had that. You were like, I got half of the song. Damn.
This week on The Stacks, we don't talk about any books.
No
we
books.
Just talk about musicals and reasons to go to New York.
Yeah, pretty much. the rest is history. I met Tracy.
You went to NYU for undergrad, but what did you do
yes.
afterwards? You like lived a lot of people's dream by going to which theater school?
I went to Julie's Art School. The Juilliard
the
School.
The Juilliard School. Okay, perfect. I was confused about Julie.
No, I know.
We're joking, but Vella actually like lived basically every little girl's dream who ever wanted to be an actress, which
oh
is I go to Juilliard and like I
go to Juilliard.
Or like from Save the Last Dance. Sure. Well, I can't say this officially, but welcome to Juilliard.
Did they do that?
No. I was waiting. I was like, is anybody going to? No. Okay.
Have you guys seen Save the Last Dance?
No. Has anyone seen it?
Okay, fine. Okay, I'll just wait for the letter.
Yeah. So, so Tracy and I met because we were in a year-long Shakespeare intensive called the Classical Studio at NYU. And I remember thinking Tracy was amazing at Shakespeare and I like was so bad at it. And we get a review at the end of the year. Do you like remember?
No, I want to know where this is.
Okay.
So bad.
My review said Vella should concentrate on the new work happening, meaning not the old work,
not
meaning
the classics.
Not Shakespeare, which is what we had been doing for the last year. So that really stuck with me. And then a few years later, went to Juilliard and did just four more years of the old works.
And did they give you a nice review at the end of that?
Yeah, they were like, not terrible.
We did have a teacher who told Vella she was
not terrible,
which honestly at the other school is like an A+.
Yeah, I really took it to heart. I was like, cool, I'm ready for the world.
Like, okay, I'm going to be an actress.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you leave Juilliard.
Left Juilliard.
You go.
And I really
become a real actress.
Yeah, I used all of my Shakespeare tools, and now I am on a show on the CW.
A lot of the classics.
Yeah,
so
we're doing the classics.
Were right.
They were the right. Work. I should have focused on the new work.
You could have been a working actress long before.
I know.
So Vella plays Heather on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which is a musical comedy show or a comedy musical show. I don't know. They're singing
both.
And dancing, and it's about a girl who chases her ex-boyfriend to West Covina, California.
Yeah, which is just right around the bend.
Right around the corner.
From here.
I do not live in West Covina. I live in Los Angeles. Thank you very much.
Disclaimer.
No offense, but
West Covinians.
West Covinians.
West Covinians.
So you get on this show and you play the weirdest human ever.
Yeah, yeah. Heather is like, she's just kind of over everything. Like she's very deadpan. She's very like not a lot of emotion. And she's like a community college student for 8 years. She's living with her parents. And, you know, it's so funny because like as an actor, you're just like constantly auditioning for things and you don't actually think you're going to get the things that you're auditioning for. So for that audition, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to have fun and I'm going to like make a weird choice that's like I'm not going to get this job. So I might as well. It's a really fun script. So I might as well just like, you know, go strong and wrong or whatever. So I'd like chose this choice of like just totally deadpan. And then I like got a call back and then a Skype session and then I got it.
And you were like, I'm stuck doing this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's so crazy to think about like that odd day on auditioning and then being like, oh, 3 years later, like.
Because you guys just got a fourth and final season.
Yes. So thank you. It's sad and it's exciting. It's all of the things.
Right.
All
but
at the same time.
I feel like, I mean, not that you ever want work to end as an actor, but it's also kind of nice that you know that your final season is your final season.
Yeah.
So like, the writers get to do what they want to do and you'll get to have like a real send off. And also like you'll get to go do other things.
Yeah, because so many times like shows end and they didn't. It's like, I mean, Felicity, just to bring it back home to Felicity. Just,
I guess apparently it up and ended.
It's really a focus point in my life. But like, yeah, like a lot of shows just end really abruptly and you don't get to kind of tie things in and kind of, you know, tie up some character arcs and stuff like that. So I think it's best case scenario that we get to have one more. Yeah.
And it's actually pretty funny. I didn't want to like it, but I like it.
Thanks, Tracy.
And you're funny.
Yeah.
And some of the dancing is really great and like some of the lyrics, it's good. If you've never seen it, you should watch it. Of course, today and every day I link to everything we talk about on the show in the show notes, so I'll also link you guys to, you know, iTunes or whatever, so you can find the episodes.
Yeah, and we have a lot of our music videos on YouTube.
Music videos, and you guys have like albums and everything.
Yeah, we have albums.
If original
that's your
cast
thing.
Recording. Yeah. Yeah, so you can hear a lot from Vella.
Yeah.
So as far as like being an actress, you do other things besides, like I just saw Vella in a play here in Los Angeles called Significant Other. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you were in The Big Sick. Mm-hmm. You were great in The Big Sick. Well,
Thank
I don't
you.
Even know what your character's name was.
Khadija.
Mm-hmm. One of the female suitors for Camille's character.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen that movie, it's really good and it was nominated for an Academy Award.
So no big deal.
You don't need me to tell you that. How do you prepare for roles?
Well, It kind of depends, because something like a teacher I had at Juilliard actually said, which I think is so great, is like, the reason you study technique is for those roles that don't come super easily to you. So sometimes you'll pick up a script, you know, and you're like, I got this. Like, I know this, this you know, me. This is me. Sure. Yeah. So like for those times, I don't think you actually need to do, this is just my personal philosophy. You don't need to do that much work because you get it right away. Right. Like no questions. Right. I know this person. And then technique is kind of for those times when you're like, I don't know. Like I have no idea what this is. Sure. Yeah. So I think it's kind of case by case for me, okay. But, something that I love to do is like, start by, you read the play once just for fun. Mm-hmm. Or the script or whatever. And then you go back and read it a second time, kind of looking at your character.
Right.
And then you go back and you start to take notes of like, what does everyone say about my character? Right. What are the things I do? Who are the people I love? Like just kind of collecting
building like the life.
Yeah. And just collecting all the things that are in the script and using like the words and the information as a building block. And then you can kind of create from there. But I'm more of like a, I don't know, I guess like, before I did the classical studio, I did experimental theater wing at NYU. So I was rolling on the floor a lot and like making sound and really feeling my impulses. And I feel like kind of more of a physical actor in that way. I'm less cerebral. But at the same time, I think it was really helpful to go to Juilliard and kind of get away from that and actually like connect the text to acting.
So, yeah. And I mean, this is something that I don't know if people know this or not. I'm going to assume that some people do and some people don't. But being an actor is you do a lot of reading.
You do.
You read a lot. Even if you're not reading books, you're reading scripts and you're reading plays and you're reading scenes and you're doing a lot with text. Like it's a very text active career. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people just think you memorize lines and then you say them. But a lot of the work comes from text analysis.
It is text. Yeah, it very much is dependent on text. And another thing that I always like to remember is don't make your scene partner a liar. So you have to go through like what if you're in a scene with someone and they're like, just stop interrupting me. Like you have to be interrupting them.
Right.
Because if you're not, then like your scene partner looks so dumb.
Why are you telling me to stop interrupting you? I'm just casually sitting there eating my sandwich.
And glaring at you. Yeah. So it's like it's not just about like
your
which
lines.
I know some like my line. My line, blah, 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 my line. It's like, why do they say that when I say that? What about that is making, is informing like my character's choices?
And what is it that they're saying that's making me speak?
Yes, exactly.
Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I get in like a fight with my husband, love you, Jake, I won't actually say anything to him. Like I'll be annoyed with him and I'll just be like, keep talking. Like, I'm not interested in what you're saying.
Right.
Versus like when he says something that like really, like, I'm like, ah, I can't believe you said that about Steph Curry, my favorite basketball player. Like, you know, versus like if he's just like talking and I'm just like, I'm not into you. Like, so there's all that kind of work about like looking at text. Do you think that informs how you read for pleasure, like a book or a magazine article or something? Like, do you feel like you do a lot of text analysis when you're not reading plays?
That's interesting. I haven't thought about it, but I think it must just because like you kind of become like an archaeologist in a way when you're an actor. You're like, you're just constantly looking for clues. Like you're like, oh, why did that person say that? Or like, oh my God, there's one line about like, you know, a dog that they had when they were little. Right. So this person is someone who loves dogs. So you're like kind of constantly like mining for clues.
Right.
And so I think it does kind of, it does inform my reading.
And do you find this is kind of a leading question. I should just say what I think instead of just leading you down.
Sure, say what you think.
I find a lot of people may or may not know. If you've listened to the show before, you know I'm not huge on fiction. And I think one of those reasons is because I was an actor and I like plays and those are fiction oftentimes. Mm-hmm. I feel like because plays are shorter and it's like 3 hours you're saying it, the author of the play will just give the information that's important to the story.
Yeah.
Whereas in fiction, sometimes they might be like, oh, that dog I had when I was 5. And then the dog just never comes back. Whereas in the play, if the dog comes up, you're going to find out later that her sister actually killed the dog. And then there's the huge scene at the end. So it's like,
it's like the Chekhov's gun or whatever.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I noticed the dog. Okay. The dog's coming back. Like, and so I feel like sometimes in fiction, I'm like, well, why do I care about how sunny the day was unless it's going to be a rainy day later?
Right.
Like,
well, I guess though, because a play is, plays are so interesting because they're, some of them are so like they're just beautiful reads on their right. own, but they're meant to be said and right. seen. So I guess it's interesting because like the clues are dropped, but you're always going to be seeing right. what the action is on stage. Right. Whereas like a novel, you're creating a whole world a whole in your world. Head. And right. so you do need that information right. of like a little dog. Cause yeah, you're like, cause
but I don't like that. I'm just like, get yeah. to the point. I like the action.
Information.
Like nonfiction. I like to learn stuff. And like, it doesn't matter to me if it yeah. was raining in nonfiction, unless it matters to the story. Like right. unless there was I a get car it. Accident because of the rain. So
I get it. Yeah.
I don't know. People always bug me about why I don't like fiction, but I know. That, there's a reason.
I'm just See, I confused. Wish I liked nonfiction oh. as much as you like yeah. nonfiction. I love nonfiction. Cause I feel like you're just full of information.
I just reading for knowledge. I don't know. But I can't. That's great. I like can't enjoy fiction. Like even a really good fiction
really?
Book.
Really?
Like, it was good, but like I would have just cut a few scenes here. Like
you're like, I really could have just like said the information, yeah. bing, bang, bong.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, talking about since we're gonna talk about Shakespeare next mm-hmm. week and Bella and I, we did that classical intensive together, so mm-hmm. we talked a lot about Shakespeare.
We played the Dumaine brothers in As You Like It.
Didn't we play the same Dumaine?
Oh my God, we did. For some reason, I thought we were together, but
no, we weren't.
We shared the part because it was college and you had to share parts.
So we played the same person. And oh, yeah. You'll see a picture of Ella and I on the website or on Instagram or whatever. But we do kind of look like each other.
Yeah.
We're mixed sisters. Girls. Yeah. And so it was like kind of like, oh, did you just put yeah. these two curly haired black girls in the same part? Like you couldn't even get
They'll
creative.
Be great as Dumaine one. Yeah. But he did tell us we were the moral center of the play.
And Benny, no, not Benny, Collins from Rent, the original. What was his name? Jesse something.
Oh, yes, Jesse, not Jesse Tyler Ferguson.
I was gonna say Jesse Owens. I'm going to Google it. Anyways, he's really famous.
L. Martin?
That sounds right.
It sounds right, but it might not be right. What about him?
He played our Dumaine part at NYU you know, before us.
There you go.
Yeah, Jesse L. Martin. Very good.
Did I get it? Sometimes it's like there are weird tidbits.
There you're like, wait, I got that. Anyways, mm-hmm. the point is that if you've ever read As You Like It, you don't remember the Dumaine brothers.
Because sometimes
they're usually cut. They're the worst part of the play, except for that they get to speak gibberish and they're the moral center.
Yeah, that's
But
true.
Anyways, so we did Shakespeare and basically our training was based mm-hmm. on like text analysis and yeah. using the text as a clue and doing all the acting on the text and diving into the antithesis, which is, I mean, if you aren't familiar with Shakespeare, his writing, his verse is iambic pentameter, which is 5 feet
mm-hmm.
up to...
Two. Syllables.
Yes. 2 syllable, 5 feet. Well, no, not 2 syllables. It's just two. So one soft, one hard syllable.
Oh, right.
So it's like
what are those
to
called?
Be or not
to be. That is the question.
Right? Yeah. So that would be the iambic tenor. That's the verse. This is like a crash course. Louis Sheeter, our teacher, don't hate me.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
But anyway, so we learned how to read and understand Shakespeare, which I think is really helpful because Shakespeare is really intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what I also learned is that Shakespeare's better when it's seen and heard because it's a play.
Yes, definitely. Like even now when I'm like reading Shakespeare, like I have to say it out loud.
I have to say it out loud.
Yeah. Because yeah. otherwise you're like, I am lost I'm in so a confused. Bunch of words.
A bunch of words.
Yeah. Like a word circus. But like once you say it out loud, and I don't remember if it was Louis or somewhere else that I heard, but that Shakespeare tried to imitate just the natural cadence of human speech pattern. So we do talk in these patterns.
Right.
So it is like it's a music.
Right. Well, and that like sometimes when things don't fit in the pattern, mm-hmm. it's on purpose.
Right, right.
Like
exactly.
if something's switched or it has an extra
feminine ending.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. all these things, there's reason to it. And basically this is just my public service announcement. If you're scared of Shakespeare, like don't be scared.
Don't be scared. Everyone
just
is scared.
Be patient. That's the key.
Beautiful.
Yeah, just be patient because he really is prolific and he wrote about so many important things. And when we talk about New Boy next week and also Othello, because you can't really talk about New Boy without talking about Othello, since, you know, it's a retelling of Othello, mm-hmm. We're going to talk, I think, a little bit more about how much is like jammed into these Shakespeare plays, like how many themes and how many ideas and how the characters are debating these intense ideas and also how current so much of the text is.
Yeah, it's like these are just like timeless stories.
Timeless stories. And like not just timeless, but like also relevant mm-hmm. in any time period.
Completely.
It's just, I mean,
They're
I'm
genius.
Just a big Shakespeare nerd. And so I don't fucking care if you think that that's dumb. Like, I think you're dumb. I don't because like you're lovely and
thanks for listening.
Please subscribe to this podcast. Okay. Do you have a favorite Shakespeare play or character?
Oh gosh. I tend to like, if I do a Shakespeare play, then I'm in love with that play. Right. But I think I got to play Lady M, Lady Macbeth.
You can say it in here. We're not in a theater.
Yeah, we're not in a theater. Yeah, I have such a weird superstition with
it. Every actor does. You're not supposed to say weird. Macbeth in a theater. It's bad luck. Something bad will happen. Actors always say like the Scottish play. And I'm like, you're in a grocery store.
I know.
Store.
It's fine. Nothing's going to happen. Yeah, so I got to play Lady Macbeth. And I didn't think I liked Macbeth at all. And then I got to do the play. And I was like, oh, this is incredible.
You did the scene in college with Kale and you were great.
Oh my God, I forgot about
Bella
that.
Did a scene.
I did do that scene. Yeah. So then I got to revisit it. But it was a four woman Macbeth. Oh. So it was kind of like a modern retelling.
A new
spin. It was kind of like we related it to the Slender Man killings.
Yeah.
Kind of like young girls and like violence and stuff. So it was really cool. So I kind of love Lady Macbeth.
I
love the play. Yeah. And I also like As You Like It. It's really fun.
I like As You Like It. You know, I just love Romeo and Juliet.
It's like you can't get better.
I don't like Hamlet.
No, although I did see the production at the Public Theater last summer that my friend Gail played Ophelia, and she's incredible, with Oscar Isaac. Okay. It was the first time I understood the play, and I realized I hadn't been understanding the play. I realized it's just about this kid who hasn't dealt with death.
Right. I don't think I've seen it good.
The thing about Shakespeare is I think it's so hard to understand, but it's also so easy to understand.
Like
once you figure it out, you're like, this is amazing. Right. And it's just, if you don't like it, I think the chances are you just
haven't
didn't
seen it good
get
or
it.
Understood it.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's not like no shame about not understanding. It's so dense.
Yeah. Hamlet just has never been one that I've been into. I've just kind of been like,
yeah,
okay,
I felt that too. I think it's a very male play also. It's just like dudes and they can't express their grief.
Yeah, it's
and like
very dudesy.
Yeah.
I also love Richard III, which we did.
Queen Margaret, the witch, the
I'm
prophetess.
A witchy woman. Yeah, you guys don't know this about me, but my dream in life is to be someone to be like, oh, Tracy, what a witchy woman.
What a witchy. That's my goal too.
But you are actually witchy. I'm not.
You'll get there.
Like you're from New Mexico. You have like turquoise and stuff.
It's true.
Okay.
And I think we're also forgetting that I played Richard III.
Yes. Bella played one of the five Richard III's alongside Tony nominee Brandon Uranowitz.
Yes.
Which is like kind of a big deal. I mean, like we have a Tony nominee and a ensemble member in
Sidebar.
A Golden Globe. weren't you guys nominated for a Golden Globe?
We were nominated for
SAG
Award.
Yes. SAG, Best Ensemble. There you go.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay.
Just very prolific class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Before we jump into like more book stuff, because I promise you guys we are going to talk about books besides Shakespeare. Do you have any favorite role that you've ever played besides Lady M? Like any role?
Yeah. I got to play. I'm too young for it, but Arcadna in The Seagull, and I did a terrible job. But I was like, someday I'm gonna come back to this.
When I got old. I'm excited.
Yeah. And then there's also a play that I didn't get to see, but I read by. Do you know Brandon Jacobs Jenkins at all?
No,
he's an incredible. I think he's the playwright of our generation.
Okay.
He's amazing. And he wrote a play called Neighbors at the Public. And there's a part in there for a mixed girl that almost just never happens. So
that's a role you want to play.
That's a role I would want to play at some point in my life. And then come back to Arcadna when I'm like
ready.
Six. No, how old? She's like 50 maybe.
I don't know Chekhov that well.
Oh, I love Chekhov.
I couldn't get into Chekhov. But maybe I've just not seen
it. Giving it a good college try.
It's kind of like.
Yeah. Arcadna's like the over the top actress.
Perfect.
But like she's wounded inside.
Oh, is she my hands? I don't know what to do with my hands.
I don't think
literally
so.
Literally quoting Chekhov is great podcast. Great podcast. Okay. We're gonna dive into, the world famous Stax questionnaire.
Yeah.
We're gonna talk about books. So we're gonna start it off with my fave. What are two books that you love and one book that you hate?
Okay. I'm just basically going to talk about this one book
over and over, which is
New People by Dancy Senna.
Do you know this book is very controversial?
A lot of people don't like it.
New People.
I don't understand
why.
Or
they like New People and well, why don't you talk about it?
Okay. First? Well, New People is the story of this mixed woman, Maria, who essentially is, I guess she's, I don't know. She's like, she's lost in a way. And so she's, she becomes obsessed with this black poet and she essentially stalks him all around the city, but she's also about to marry her fiance is also mixed. And the story is told in all of these flashbacks of them meeting in college and her growing up, as an adopted daughter of her, black, Harvard student mother, Gloria. And she's also studying Jonestown for her.
My favorite.
Tracy's favorite for her graduate thesis. And so basically the real-time story is her stalking this black poet and almost getting caught like 9 times out of 10. Like she's just like pushing the limits.
Yeah.
And so it's like a thriller. But then there's all these flashbacks, including Jonestown flashbacks. Mm. And the way it's told is just so incredibly it's like creepy and it's subtle and it's heartfelt and it's, I think it's just so beautiful.
And it's worth reading just for the last scene.
Oh, that last scene.
The last scene is for real, like digging your fingernails into your thighs, like to keep from screaming. So here's what I'll say about, I made some friends on the internet, on Bookstagram. They're like book people. So it's not creepy. Like I don't think they're going to come murder me.
Okay.
But I know that there's a handful of people who just really hate Maria and they think that she's like,
why?
She's just like batshit.
You will. Right.
But they just are like, this is unrealistic or whatever. And I think that last scene is part of it. And I think the bathroom scene, which I don't want to say too much more about.
Okay.
I can't tell you.
We'll talk about it. Okay.
There's a bathroom.
I'm like hand signals.
Anyways.
Okay.
I was going to do hand signals, but it's just going to be quiet on the podcast.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so I know a lot of people don't like that and they like don't get it. And they're like, Maria, girl, like you, it's too much. Like you've got this great, what's his name? Like Khalil or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this great fiance. And then you're like obsessed with this poet. I don't know. I kind of was into Maria. I kind of like liked it, but
so
I understand
Maria.
Reading the book and being like, this is not.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a dislike of the book because I think that, I mean, I'm speaking for people. I'm not even speaking for myself. So if you're listening and you're one of those people on Bookstagram who doesn't like new people or like didn't like Maria, please reach out and
tell us why. I also think like, and this is, I mean, this is like another thing we might get to or might not, but like I just very much saw myself in her.
Right.
And I feel like Dan Zeeson is just, I love her so much because she just speaks to that. Like in between worlds, kind of feeling lost, kind of weird limbo existence.
And she's mixed as well.
And Danzy is mixed. And so I've never really read anyone who just really like described that feeling so accurately.
Right.
And she's not even accurate. It's very general and very large. And in that way, it's so specific.
Yeah, I agree. And I also, you know, as a lover of Shakespeare, maybe, I also don't mind how like cuckoo nutso she goes, because it is very like very much like a play. Like,
yeah,
you know, play in plays things happen and you're like, that's not real, but if you suspend your disbelief enough, like you can kind of just like go with it. And also people do crazy
people
stuff.
Do weirder things
watch
than
the news.
Yeah,
like people do crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your other book
people
you
be crazy? The Neapolitan Novels by Elena Ferrante.
Oh yes, of course I do.
Yeah, the my brilliant friend, and now I can't remember the other ones.
There's like four, right?
Yeah, there's like my brilliant friend, the story of maybe
I'll put it all in the
new
show notes,
name.
Don't worry.
Anyways, there's four of them. Literally, they're amazing.
Are they? They sound so fiction-y.
They are so fictiony and they're so good. And I love that like she's anonymous and I totally support her staying anonymous. And like it made me, well, I'm going to go to Italy, but it made me really want to go to Italy.
Also send Bella your Italy recommendations.
Please do. Please do.
She's planning her trip. She'll be there soon. So send them quickly.
Yeah. And then the book that I don't like.
Yeah, go
ahead. For some reason, I don't know why I read Rob Lowe's autobiography.
Sounds like a mistake.
It was. I just kind of was like, I don't know why I'm reading this. And also like, yeah, not a lot of.
Sure.
Maybe I just couldn't relate.
Can't relate to that. That's a tough relate. Yeah, I feel that. Okay, well, what's the last like great book that you've read?
I brought it here with me today. Little Fires Everywhere.
Ooh,
have you read it?
No, but I'm thinking about
really
reading her
good.
Other book for an episode of the podcast.
Oh, really?
Her other book,
what's her other book?
Everything I Never Told You.
Right. Yeah.
Or something.
She's incredible. Celeste Ng, I guess.
Celeste Ng.
Ng,
her,
okay.
Like, handle on social media is like, it's pronounced Ng.
Oh, perfect. Well, Celeste, I got you. It's so good.
Okay.
It's an incredible book.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet.
It's
I want to, though.
It's really beautiful. It's really well done.
That I actually want to read.
Yeah, you'll love it. So okay, that was my last
like real great read. Book that you loved. What about what are you reading right now?
So right now I tend to like pick up a lot of books and then stop about halfway through. Cool. And so I have a lot on my to-do list. Okay. But Hunger by Roxane Gay is one of them. Okay. It's incredible. And it's not about the books. Like, the books are amazing.
Right.
I just, like, have the attention span of, a small child.
Do you usually end up finishing these books?
I will. I do. Yeah. But sometimes years later.
Okay. Perfect.
Like, it took me a really long time to read one of my favorite books, 100 Years of Solitude.
Oh.
Literally years. Like, I would just be like, I got to chapter 5 and then would like abandon ship. But so right now it's Hunger, Half a Yellow Sun,
okay,
by Chimamanda,
yes,
and Ngozi Adichie.
Yes.
And and Between the World and Me, which is also amazing.
So good and short.
And really short.
Yeah.
This is how short my attention span is.
So you literally are reading 3 amazing books right now.
Yeah.
And you just are like.
The problem is I really do love books. Mm-hmm. And so if I go to a bookstore or I see Tracy's Instagram or like something, I get so excited and I have to get the book right away.
Got
and
it.
Then I read it and then I'm like, wait, that other book
right.
is also so exciting. Sure. And so I just get too excited. And
you're
then...
not alone in this. Many people
okay.
read like this.
Okay.
Like, this is very common.
Thanks.
There's a thing called your TBR, your to be read list.
Oh.
Mine has about 400 books on it.
Yeah, but you actually read them.
So I, unlike you, I can only basically read one book at a time.
That's good.
I can read one and listen maybe to one on audio.
Yeah.
Maybe, but I don't generally.
Mm-hmm.
I can barely do that. And if I put a book down, I pick up a different book and I'll read that book. And then if I do go back, it might be like months later. Like I read The New Jim Crow.
Yeah.
Like 2 years apart. Like I read the
yeah.
first half and then I put it down because I was like not.
Did you have to
it.
Go back and read the first half
back,
again?
No, I just went back a little bit. I remembered it.
You did?
I did. It stuck with me. I just for some reason was having a hard time staying awake and reading it because I was reading it at night. Anyway.
Maybe it was like the setting.
Yeah,
wrong.
I don't know. It just wasn't the right time for me.
Yeah.
But that's so rare that I do that.
Yeah.
Like that's the only book I can think of that I've ever actually gone back and finished it. If I put a book down,
it's
I'm just
done.
Like, I'm not
We're done.
It.
Wasn't
yeah.
a good fit.
Yeah.
We dated.
She's
it didn't
just
work
not that
out.
Into
She's
you.
Not into the book.
The book story.
No, I also kind of have weird like book amnesia. Like
okay.
I will read a book and be so into it and then I put it down and I could not tell you
could
what it's about.
You.
So a lot of these books like on like that I'm like excited to talk to you about, like I don't remember what happened.
Like the bathroom scene in New People.
Yeah, I literally
like,
was
how
like,
could you forget?
I was like, what? No, but I literally like, I think it may, I'm blaming it on the fact that I'm an actor.
Sure.
And that I like, am used to memorizing a lot
right.
and then just forgetting.
Sure.
But it could just be my mind.
Sure. No, it's fine. There's no right answer to reading, I've discovered.
Oh, thanks.
Well, no, it's true. Like everybody
yeah.
has totally different like feelings about reading and reasons why they read and how they read and this and that.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of what works for you. Because if you start doing it how other people do it, it's not going to be enjoyable.
It's not going to, exactly.
And it's not going to be something that you love. And so my whole goal in life is just to make people want to read. So
I'm
going to
cry.
Don't cry. I just mean like, I don't know. I like, it's kind of like, I'm a picky eater.
Yeah.
Really picky eater.
Yeah, you are.
And I get annoyed when people are like, you don't like guacamole. I'm like, no, I don't. But why do you care?
Yeah.
Like, why do you care if I want to eat guacamole? Like, that means you can have more.
Right.
Like, if I say I don't want guacamole on my burger, my, like, California-style burger, like, is that going to really inconvenience you? Same thing with reading. I don't care how you read. Like, just read. Like, what do I care?
I think some people see themselves reflected in other
sure.
people. So, it, like, when you don't like guacamole, they're like, but I love
right.
guacamole.
I just don't care. Like, as I,
That's
as
great.
I often yell at people, I am who I am. I am who I am.
Doesn't Iago say that in Othello?
Oh,
he says
might.
Something like, I am that I am or something.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he does say something crazy like that, but in
hey,
a different way.
In a different way.
Yeah,
in a
like,
different
It's
context.
Like about being like a vindictive like murderer.
Evil person.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
You know, same thing.
Okay. So given that you kind of talked about this a little bit, that
mm-hmm.
you just pick books based on whatever you see that excites you at the
bookstore.
Yes. Do you take recommendations from people?
I do. I have like a couple friends, like you included. I have a friend, Rosa, who like, you're kind of like my book people
okay.
that I'll be like, oh, like it, you know, I'll check in to see what you're reading
Got
because
it.
I trust your judgment.
That's nice.
And then I don't know. I'm into Oprah's book club.
Okay.
Like she's pretty solid.
Yeah. I mean, if Oprah says it's good,
if
it's
Oprah
worth
says
a
it's
read.
Good, it's definitely like,
yeah.
it's definitely worthy.
Have you read the newest one, An American Marriage?
No,
I haven't. I haven't read it yet though.
Oh,
it's
really?
By a black woman.
Oh, great.
I'm going to fuck it up. Tayari, Taraya, Tarai. Fuck. you guys. That's so
we'll
bad.
Come, we'll circle back.
I know
back.
How to spell it. I'm going to type it into my typing computer. It in. And then I'm going to see if there's a pronunciation.
Yeah, Oprah is solid. And then, yeah, I kind of started following.
Tayari Jones.
Tayari Jones. Oh, great. What's it called?
It's called An American Marriage.
Okay.
And I don't know a lot. It's also very polarizing, kind of like new people from what I understand. Like there's people in the book that you really like or don't like. And I'm supposed to be reading it this month. I put it on my list to read this month, but
great.
I don't think it's going to happen.
It might happen later in the summer. There we go. Yeah. It's a busy summer.
It's a busy month. But anyways, so you like Oprah's book list?
Yeah, I like that. I like Oprah's book club, Friends, and I actually have not found a good bookstore in LA. Maybe you can tell me about one.
There's the most amazing bookstore in LA, and it's called Eswan Books.
Okay.
It's kind of like Baldwin Hills area, and it is Black owned, all books written about or by Black folks.
What?
I went and had the time of
what's
my
it
life.
Called?
Eswan Books. Eswan
Okay.
It's Ta-Nehisi Coates' favorite book in the bookstore in the world.
Oh my God.
Barack Obama went there when he wrote a book years back. It's really cool.
That's amazing.
If you're in LA and you like Black shit, you should go. If you're in LA and you don't know if you like Black shit, go check it out because they have really cool Black shit. I went and bought a lot of books the first time I went, and it was not a smart financial decision, but all the books I bought I bought like 10 books and I've read like 8 of them between myself and my husband. We've read like 8 of them and they're all amazing. So
that is so cool.
It's really cool. So that's my favorite bookstore in LA. But there's also like Book Soup, and then there's Chevalier Books. There's a bunch of bookstores in LA. We'll talk.
Yeah. I guess I just haven't. Yeah. We'll talk. I love the Strand in New York. Like that's kind of one of my favorite places to go
because
you literally just walk in and you can just like spend hours there. And then they have all the different tables, like staff picks and like new things and then old things that like you might have, you know, just missed reading. And if I go in there, I will like get. I'll walk out with like 10 books.
Yeah. Well, there's also Powell's in Oregon, in Portland. That's like that. It's like different floors and like different rooms. They have different colors, like the purple room and like the pink room. And it's also a great bookstore. There's so many cool bookstores. There's a bookstore in Ojai that's an outdoor bookstore that my friend Daryl told me about. And it's like there's no roof and it's outside. Like the books are covered by an awning. It's really charming and sweet. I love bookstores.
We love bookstores.
Bookstores are amazing.
Yeah. I haven't been to the library yet here.
There's one right up the street from me
that
I go to.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I finally got a library subscription.
Yeah, because that it can get out of control financially in bookstores because you're like, I want to read that and I want to read that. And then.
Oh, yeah. And I'm trying this year. I'm trying not to buy any books by white men that are not about people of color.
Great.
So we'll buy books by women and by people of color. But I'm trying to do library for white men books.
That's amazing.
It's been hard.
Yeah.
Unless it's a book we talk about on this show.
Yeah.
I buy those books.
Yeah.
Anyways, do you guys care about how I buy books?
we do. We
do. I don't even know if I care.
I know I do. I'm right there with you.
Okay. So what's something – like what's a good book that someone has recommended to you or gifted you?
Oh, this is a good one. So I did a show with Jonathan Groff years ago at Shakespeare in the Park. And
what show?
The Bacchae. Did you see it?
I did.
Okay. I was wearing an orange jumpsuit.
No, I saw it.
If you recall.
I do remember.
So we were talking about he was reading The Alchemist by, now I can't remember his
Paolo
name.
Paolo Coelho.
Yes, Coelho. Yes. And we were talking about it and like the themes and stuff. And I was like, oh, that sounds so cool. I'll have to check it out. And then like 2 days later, he just gave me the book. And that is because he's a really good human being.
Okay.
But it also just made me, I don't know, just think about like how special a book can be, you know, because it can be like the most special gift in the world.
Getting gifted the right book from the right person,
or
whatever, like a thoughtful book is really good. Well, I only give gifts now of books, and my like 6-year-old niece, I gave her a book for her birthday.
What'd you get her?
It was Feminist Nighttime Bedtime Stories.
Aww.
Or something.
Oh, yeah.
And she looked at the book, looked at me, and like rolled her eyes and like looked away.
She was not. She was like, why didn't you get me?
Turns out I was told by her mother that she wanted the book. Turns out Robin, the mother, my sister-in-law,
wanted the book.
Wanted the book. Right. Which is fine.
Right. it's, like, you know, whatever. A gift for hers.
In 5 years when I'm giving you awesome books, leave me alone.
She'll appreciate it. She'll appreciate it.
But yeah, it's true. Getting a good book is lovely. And
it's
like,
so special. And it makes you think of the person, and then you read the book kind of with them in mind a little bit. Right. And it's like, it's kind of like one of the most special things if it's the right book.
If it's the right book.
Yeah.
What's a book that you like to recommend to people?
I will recommend, especially if someone's going through a hard time, Tiny Beautiful Things, the Dear Sugar.
Cheryl Strayed. Yes. I just recommended it to somebody.
Yes.
There is one story in there.
Which one? I know all of them so well.
The one, the writer girl that's like, yes. She talks about being humble.
Yes. And privileged.
And yes. And yes. If you have, I listened to that on audio. It's actually amazing because she reads them. It's one of my favorite audios that I've listened to. And that particular one is really great. Tiny Beautiful Things.
By Cheryl Strayed. So I love Cheryl Strayed. Well, what's so amazing about her is she's really good at reading between the lines, mm-hmm. which is what she did with that particular letter too. It's this woman who basically is like, you know, I deserve, I went to, this is the one you're thinking about, right?
She's like, wants to write the great American novel. Yeah, and she feels like a failure at like 26.
Right. And she's like, all my peers are getting book deals and I went to two prestigious colleges and I don't know how to control my jealousy. And basically Cheryl Strayed is like, what makes you think that like, because you went to prestigious and also what are prestigious colleges that it means you deserve something.
Or that your writing is good enough now.
Yeah.
And also I love how she like calls people like sweet pea.
I know. She has like so much love, but then she'll
like in a nice way.
But then she'll also be like the people who need to be like lifted up, she lifts them up. And the people that need to sit down, she's like sit down and like check yourself.
I've recommended that to two people now. One person just got it from the library and the other person like came to me and was like, thank you. Like it is such...
It's especially, I think, if someone's going through like a heart trouble time of any kind, there's kind of a letter for every situation.
Yes. And some of them are just so beautiful. So,
the one about the kittens is my favorite. Do you remember that one?
No.
Ugh, it's this one just about like a guy writes in asking for help with like a drug problem. And she writes about how she and her ex-husband, who like they just were not right for each other or whatever, like kept hearing this noise in the walls for weeks.
Yes, of course, I remember.
Right. And they were like, what is this noise? And then they finally were like, wait, we think it's in the ceiling. And they like crack open the ceiling and they put out their hands and these little kittens walk into their hands. And it's just about, she's like, you have to know when to ask for help and when to step into someone's hand and when it's okay and safe, you know. Ugh. It's just the way she writes about like her own life and then the advice she gives is so beautiful and personal and it's so good. So that's my recommendation usually.
It's so good. Oh my God. Thank you for bringing that book up. It makes me so happy. I love that book.
It's so good.
Okay. Are there any things that you maybe wish that were different about your reading life?
Yes. So I tend to read really fast. Okay. Like I am like, I'm just like, I like will just like try and like, I just get so excited, I think, that I will tend to, and I can't even control it. Sometimes I will like skip ahead and it's like not even like to the end of the book, but like say I'm like it's a page turner and I got to the first sentence, my eyes just go to the end of the bottom of the second page.
You want to savor more.
Yeah. And so sometimes I miss like lavish descriptions. Sometimes I miss settings. Like I miss like the little minute details because I'm in such a hurry to get the story.
So
I have, speaking of like reading Shakespeare out loud, I've started like if I catch myself speeding through, I make myself go back and like say it out loud kind of. So don't sit next to me on an airplane.
That's funny because most people want to read faster, you know, like everybody wishes they could read faster so they could read more.
I'm the opposite. I'm like a skimming queen. I'm just like, what's the story?
See, you like the story too.
Yeah.
Are there any genres that you love or that you avoid?
Well, we were just talking about this before. I sadly avoid nonfiction, which I don't want to. It's just like, I guess it's my attention span.
You just need good nonfiction. I have some really good nonfiction books for
beginners.
For people who like fiction.
Yeah.
I recommended it before on the show, Jesus Land by Julia Shears.
Okay.
It's totally up your alley. It's about, it's her memoir. She's a white lady and her family adopts these two black boys and then they have to go to like a Jesus camp. And
it's a
phenomenal book. And then she wrote a book about Jonestown, which she just wrote this book about Jonestown, totally separate. Like I read Jesus Land and then I was like, I wonder if she's written anything else. And that's what else she had written. And it's not that separate. if you know about Jonestown, it's connected. It's called A Thousand Lives. But those are two of my like favorite nonfiction recommends for people. And wow. then anything by John Krakauer.
Okay.
So Into Thin Air, Into the Wild.
Oh, right.
Under the Banner of Heaven, right. Missoula.
Did he write Born to Run too? Or is that no, someone else?
No, that's a runner guy. That's a runner. I can't remember his name. But okay. that's also a great book, nonfiction. Right. But my favorite John Krakauer is Where Men Win Glory. And it's about Pat Tillman, the NFL player who enlisted in the army and then ended up getting killed in Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
And it is unbelievably good. It is like my – I have like a top five book.
It's on there?
It's like that and okay. like Bryan Stevenson, Just Mercy, and then like other things come in and out. But those two are
wow.
like –
wow. Okay.
Anyways.
So they're like palatable for if yes. you're not a nonfiction.
Maybe I'm going to write a blog post about like
– good nonfiction intro, for fiction.
Yeah.
Intro to nonfiction. Yeah.
Nonfiction 101 or yeah. nonfiction for people who like fiction.
Yeah, because I do like I admire that about you so right. much because you were like nice. You're passionate about subjects and then you like read about them.
Then I read books about that.
And you buy books about them. Whereas I'm just like entertain me. I want to go right. away in my mind.
Sure.
You know.
Sure. I mean, however you like to read.
But exactly, saying. No judgment.
How do you read?
If I'm in New York, I love to read on the subway.
Okay.
And then.
Hard copy.
Hard e-book. Copy all the way. Okay. Although I have this iPad now, and I have gotten a couple books on there.
Audiobooks ever?
I just read my first audiobook which actually, one? Or I'm halfway through it. The Nightingale.
Amazing. And are you listening on Audible?
And I am listening on Audible.
You guys, Audible is our sponsor here at the Stacks. You get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial. And they have over 180,000 book titles for you to download with your free trial. So that's amazing. And all you have to do is go to audibletrialsingular.com/thestacks. So that's audibletrial.com/thestacks. Free 30 days, free audiobook download. It's super easy. You should take them up on this offer because it's free. Duh. And Vella's listening to a book on it, so that's cool.
That was like the most seamless transition that's ever happened. I'm so impressed.
Like on some podcasts it's like, and now we're gonna talk about yeah. like this like sock brand, and like I can talk about Audible because yeah. I talk about books.
It's pretty seamless.
Like, it's like makes sense that we should be, you know, yeah. together.
Oh, also I mean I'll join in the Audible plug. What's great is they have a sleep timer.
Oh, so if you like don't touch it?
Yeah, no, so you can set, so like a couple times I've set Nightingale for sleep timer, like for, you know, 8 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, and you can literally, like you're 8 years old, go to bed with someone reading you a book, and it's kind of really great, especially if it's like a soothing voice
yeah.
that's telling
There's
the story.
Some really great voices. One of the best audiobooks I've ever listened to is called, it's new, it's called The Faraway Brothers by Lauren Markham. And it's about immigration. It's about these twin brothers who come unaccompanied from El Salvador to Oakland, California. So oh. I loved it because that's where I'm from. Mm-hmm. But the woman who reads it does an amazing job switching between English and Spanish. And like,
wow.
she's got a great accent and her voice is great. And she's like, you know, there's like that audiobook voice where it's like, then she went to the store. Her mother was there. She was worried. But of course, the store was a place they knew. The store was home.
And it's oh my like God, not- that was so good.
It's not that intense. Like, she's a little bit more like a
yeah,
human.
Yeah.
So it's great.
So
but
good.
But like, it's always that same voice where it's like,
it is.
My darling.
Yeah.
I went to the store. The store was home.
Yes. And then, like, and then if it's like a woman, they'll be like, I don't know. Like for a guy, yeah. like their voice lowers or whatever. Yeah, it's so fun. I love it.
Listen to audiobooks. They're hilarious and great. And they're great. Audible, free trial. Moving right
And they're
along.
Really good for here in LA, they're really good for long traffic. Commutes and traffic. Yeah. That's
when
what
I run
I found.
Out of my podcasts, I go straight to my audiobooks. Yep. I'm like, gotta always be learning.
Yep.
Okay. We're going to move off Audible for now.
Great.
Just know that that's an option for you guys. What's the last book that made you cry?
Little Fires Everywhere.
Oh, okay.
The ending. It's really beautiful.
I have to just read it.
Yeah.
Okay. What's the last book that made you angry?
The book that we're going to talk about.
Oh, New Boy?
Yeah.
Me too. You guys, stay tuned. Miss next week. Go
stay
read
tuned.
The book because we need you to like talk about
yeah.
it with us.
Yeah.
Are there any books that you feel proud about having read?
Yeah, I read The Brothers Karamazov in high school.
You know the Russians are always – almost everybody so far has answered about the Russians.
I love the Russians.
The Russians are huge here on the Stacks.
They are huge in my heart. They're
amazing. I've never read a Russian.
Ugh, they're incredible. I mean, speaking of like... If you don't like hearing about like the dog that's running across the park, Tracy. Yeah.
I feel the Russians are not good for me personally, but I feel like I have to do it.
The reason why I love the Russians and why I love books like the Neapolitan novels remind me of Russian literature, because the Russians will like, you'll like be hearing about some monk for 100 pages and you're like, who's this monk? And you're hearing about his mom and his dad and his, you know, like where he grew up and all this stuff. And you're like, I don't even know this guy. And then you realize it's because the monk is meeting the main character and they have one scene together.
Got it.
But then you know exactly where he's coming from. Right. And you're like, that's because his dad said that thing to him that one time. And it's just so comprehensive that you just like know everyone. You know
it. Okay.
And it's incredible.
I should maybe take a poll. Like, which one? Should just tell me which one. Like, I know Crime and Punishment's big here. You just said the brother. Say their name.
The Brothers Karamazov.
I can never say that.
I also have tried to read War and Peace.
War and Peace twice. Has been mentioned on here, and so is Anna Karenina.
Oh, Anna Karenina's beautiful.
Those are like all.
There's also a bunch of short stories. Like,
you know, if I'm gonna do it,
just do it.
800 pages or bust. You know,
just do it. Yeah.
Or I guess in some cases like 1,200.
Yeah. Okay. A lot.
Okay. What. We could talk about anything for hours.
I know. Here. It's a little dangerous.
Like, it's like, why do we have microphones in front of us? Like, we're never going to stop. This is going to be a longer episode, y'all.
Yeah.
Are there any books that you're embarrassed about having read?
Fifty Shades of Grey. I did read.
All three?
Just the first one.
Oh, I read all three.
You did?
Super embarrassed about it. I was into them.
Oh, my God. I bought it and then I guess somehow didn't realize it was as sexy as it was.
It's very sexy.
But I didn't stop reading it. But I did. Yeah, if you see someone reading 50 Shades of Grey on the subway, like, it's just so funny because you're like, you are reading about some
sexy times.
Some sexy times, right? Like, we know what you're reading about. So it's just like kind of, it's just one of those books that's a little funny. And then I also read this book called The Soulmate Secret.
Is it also a sexy book?
It's the opposite. It's like How to Find Your Soulmate. And that was more embarrassing than 50 Shades, honestly.
Did you enjoy 50 Shades?
Oh, of course.
Great.
I didn't buy the next two books, but I had a great time.
It's fine. 50 Shades is great. The other two. I just read the other two because I wanted to know what happened.
Right. What happened?
Sure. Yeah. Did you enjoy this soulmate secret?
Like, not really, but like some coworker told me to read it.
I have a theory that people's book that they're embarrassed to have read is actually a book that they really like, and that's what they're embarrassed about, not so much about having read it
but having enjoyed it.
Yeah, like someone said like this like book that's like kind of like considered like women's literature, which I hate that term.
Oh.
But you know, like things like that where you're like kind of like embarrassed you want to
read
you
it
like it
yeah
and you feel like it doesn't fit like who you think that you are.
It's more like for me it was like if people saw you reading
sure
The Soulmate Secret, then they're like, okay.
I would have thought it was a sexy book.
Yeah.
About a book that you've never read that you feel like I should definitely have read that, or like I'm embarrassed to tell people that I've never read it?
Like a lot of like classics that you were supposed to read in high school. Like I didn't read The Great Gatsby.
It's not very good.
Right. But I can't even say that because I didn't even read it. Like when people are like, you know, like The Great Gatsby, I'm like, And then I don't like stuff like that, like Grapes of Wrath, never read Of Mice and Men.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's me too.
Yeah.
What about a favorite book from childhood?
Anne of Green Gables.
Ooh.
I love Anne of Green Gables so much.
I feel like, okay, I always get them confused. No, Anne of Green, no.
And Pippi Longstocking?
No, Anne of Green Gables and Little House on the Prairie.
Oh, I read that too. Anne of Green Gables is better because she's this little sweet orphan with red hair Canada. Cool. And it's so epic. And there's tons of books. It's like, I don't even know how many books there are actually. But you follow her from when she's like 9 to like when she's married and has her own kid. And it's just, it's so epic and beautiful. And like, I don't know. There's something so special about it.
People love that.
Yeah. And there's a new Netflix show too.
Oh.
Which is good. It's good.
Yeah. Will you watch?
I did.
Oh, it's already on.
Oh, yeah. I watched all of it.
Got it. Great. It gets a check plus.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Solid.
What about a book that you read where you saw yourself reflected back?
Again, New People by Danzy Senna. And also Caucasia, but really New People.
Caucasia is also by Danzy
Senna. Yeah, sorry. Caucasia is her first novel.
Yes.
I think. Yeah. I'm just a huge Danzy Senna.
Okay.
This is like a Danzy Senna just like love fest for me.
I did not love Caucasia.
You didn't?
I had a hard time getting into it.
Oh,
I preferred New People. Caucasia's a little bit more novel-y.
Definitely.
New People's a little bit more like a play or a movie or something.
I think because New People is it's like because it has that thriller aspect.
It's fast.
It's fast. It's happening right now. The flashbacks are there, but it's whereas like Caucasia's a little bit sprawling.
Yeah, it's a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Yeah.
We have a friend, Wade, who like loves both of them.
He loves both of them so much. Yeah.
What about like, are there any books that you feel like have influenced you professionally?
Yeah, I'm going to keep this short because I know we're probably like, is this like the third hour?
Yeah, we're on hour 9.
Oh my God. Okay. So,
no, it's okay.
So the thing is I was thinking about this and I feel like the hardest part about being an actor for me and what I see my friends going through is not the actual work. Like, mm-hmm. I think the work is actually very joyful, but the hardest part is actually the time in between.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of requires a spiritual aspect of like not giving up and not comparing yourself and mm-hmm. having like this blind faith that you will work again mm-hmm. and that like you have value. And it actually like requires more of like a spiritual.
I
don't know if spiritual is the right word, but it's hard on your soul.
Sure.
And so I actually am really into like the Cheryl Strayed kind of like self-help books sometimes. Yeah. And I brought one of them today, that When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron. And it's just books that are kind of about like your soul and like being good to yourself. I just read You're a Badass, which is really good.
I think I have that in the other room.
Yeah, just books like that. Well, they're usually quick reads, but you can come back to them.
Have you read any Brené Brown?
Yes.
Okay, I've never, but I know people.
Yes, like Brené Brown, Cheryl Strayed, Elizabeth Gilbert. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel kind of like embarrassed talking about it, but I do think they like inform my professional life because it keeps you kind of
keeps you going
in those moments where it's so easy as an actor to like be like, oh my God, I'm never gonna work again, you know?
Right,
and so it's like, it reminds you to work on yourself as a person in between working on things as an actor, you know?
No, I think that's really nice.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite authors? I mean, you just listed a bunch of people.
Well, Danzy.
Okay.
I love Chimamanda and Ngozi Adichie.
Did you read Americana?
Yes, Americana. So and then Half a Yellow Sun I'm almost done with for about a year now.
Okay.
I also love... Elena Ferrante.
Okay.
And I love the guy who did The Corrections. What's his name?
Jonathan Franzen.
Yeah, I really like him. I read The Corrections and
I read Freedom.
Yeah.
I hated Freedom.
Yeah, I liked The Corrections better.
I like the cover of Freedom, though.
And
the water.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's a cool cover.
I like him, yeah.
That's, like, so novel-y for me.
It's very – of course, you wouldn't.
I was like, oh, my God, what is this mess?
Very.
And Oprah, I think, put that on her book club list, and I was like, what does she know?
It's not like she has a club.
Does she even have a last name? What, Winfrey? Who? Okay.
Doesn't need one.
What's a book – that you would require our current United States president to read if you could?
I think keep it really basic and like The Giving Tree.
Strong. Strong choice, The Giving Tree. Most people have chosen to keep it basic.
Really?
Yeah.
I was going to say Between the World and Me, and then I was like, I think that's aiming high.
Yeah.
I think we need to keep just like basic love, compassion, and gratitude for the things around you.
Sure, that works. Okay, since you're an actress, I'm kind of going to change this question up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But what's one book that you've read that you'd love to see turned into a TV or a film so that you could maybe play one of your favorite characters?
Mm. Well, I was going to say, like either Caucasia or New People.
Okay.
Although I think I'm too old to play the girl in Caucasia because she's like a teenager.
Well, and you look too like...
I know.
Ethnic, because doesn't she like pass as white?
That's the whole thing. Yeah.
So sorry.
Just kidding.
You could play her sister.
I could play her sister. And I also really, really need to see the movie of A Little Life. Like, I want to see it so badly. Sure. And sure. I don't even
know. They optioned it into a TV show, I think, but I don't know if it's
they
actually
did,
coming.
But I'm like, when is it coming? Like, as soon as I finished that, I was like, I have to see this right now. Yeah. And I don't even know who I would play in that, but like, it's
there's
so.
Not really anybody for you because there's like not no women. For me. Okay. If you're older, you could play Julia.
I'm realizing there's no one for me in any of these books.
Sorry, I'm bashing all your dreams.
Really my warm. Dreams have been crushed. But I just want to see these all as movies.
I
also.
Definitely want to see A Little Life.
Right? I've like cast it in my mind.
Okay, who did you cast since we're here?
What's the guy from Mr. Robot? Rami Malek. As Jude.
Willem.
Oh, Willem. Oh my God. Willem, I think a good person would be oh, no, I can't think.
I know. I did this. I spent like 30 minutes with Dallas, who was our first guest on the show. He and I did this.
For A Little Life?
For like hours. Like we sat here and we did it for hours. Not on the episode, just in our personal lives because we talk about books in our real life.
Yeah, it's so good. Oh gosh, anyways, it's really hard.
It's okay. Look, read A Little Life, everybody. Cry really hard.
Read it and then tell us your casting options.
Yeah, and we'll send it to HBO. Or
we'll send it along to our people.
If you have a part for Vella, maybe you could do like non-traditional gender casting.
Come on. Like, come on. Let me
then
in.
You could be JB.
Cool.
Sure. You're welcome.
Or Malcolm. Is that his name? The other one?
Malcolm is the mixed one.
He's mixed,
JB
yeah.
is like the Haitian.
Yeah.
You could, Vella's very ethnically
ambiguous. Oh my God. Daniel Kaluuya as JB.
That's actually perfect.
That's good.
That's really good.
That's really good.
Send it over. Okay. Yeah,
currently casting.
Okay. We are, before we do our last little chunk, I'm just going to kind of slide in a few little things. Next week, Vella and I are reading New Boy by Tracy Chevalier. Should be easy for me to say her name because it's mine. New Boy by Tracy Chevalier. It's the retelling of Othello. Read the book so you guys can join this conversation because it's going to be fire. Also, don't forget audibletrial.com/thestacks for your free 30-day trial and free audiobook download. Also, please make sure that you are rating and reviewing the show wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if it is iTunes, we really appreciate those reviews. And make sure that you're subscribed and all that good stuff. Also, you can follow us on Instagram at The Stacks Pod or go to our website, www.thestackspodcast.com. Okay, last questions for Vella. It is the Diversify Books Challenge. So we're talking about diversity in books, not just diversity in, you know, picking authors of different ethnicities or whatever, but just bringing some books to the forefront that maybe we don't hear about as much. So What's a book that you have loved, that you loved from before kind of social media days?
Either 100 Years of Solitude or Love in the Time of Cholera.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Same author. Mm-hmm. A book you love by a person of a different ethnicity from you?
Little Fires Everywhere. Just going to call back. I love her. Yeah.
Love her. Okay. A book you're looking forward to reading about or by people of color.
I need to read The New Jim Crow.
Oh, so good.
I know.
Both about and by. It's really phenomenal.
Yeah.
A book you love that you rarely hear people talk about.
This book called, I think it's called In the Woods by Tana French.
Yes, I read that.
You read it?
I have read that.
Isn't it so good? And no one talks about
it.
Well, me neither because of book amnesia.
But I read it a long time ago. It was like kind of scary.
It's a mystery novel and about like the detective.
Yeah,
and
I think I get that book confused with Mystic River, the movie.
Yes, yes.
I watched them and read
they both
time.
Take place on the water.
Yeah, it's a little similar.
Yeah.
But I do know that book.
Yeah. So, but I feel like no one talks about it, but it was really good.
Yeah, it was
She's
a
really
one.
Good writer.
Yeah. And I think there's like a series that goes along
So. I think the detective has the series. Yeah.
Okay. A book you love from a genre that you don't normally read and then whatever that genre is.
Barack Obama's book, Dreams
of My Father. Audacity of Hope.
Dreams of My Father. Yeah.
So you don't really read memoir.
I don't really read memoirs, but for some reason I was like, I need to read his. And I think as a result, he's like, I just love him anyways.
And she's wearing a shirt that says, I miss Barack right now, just FYI.
Because I do. But I also just feel like it made me just see him as such a beautiful human.
Yes. He's such a beautiful human. And that book is great. And that book is really, it's just really special. And even if he had never gone on to become the president or anything, you could be like, this is such a special, cool dude.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Vella. Well, do you have anything else you want to say?
I love you, Tracy, and I love your love of reading. And I just want to say thanks for just like including all the different kinds of readers.
Yeah, I love readers. Readers are so cool. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming and talking about books with me. And Bella will be back next week. We're going to talk about New Boy by Tracy Chevalier. Otherwise, y'all, we'll see you in the stacks. All right, that's all for us this week. Thank you so much for listening today. And thank you to our guest, Bella Lavelle, for joining the show. You can find everything we discussed by going to the show notes. Please make sure that you are subscribed to The Stacks wherever you get your podcasts. If you listen to us through iTunes, please rate and review the show. Thank you to our sponsor, Audible. Make sure you get your free 30-day trial and free audiobook download by going to audibletrial.com/thestacks. Our graphic designer is Robin McCrite. Our theme music comes from Tagirigis, and The Stacks was created and produced by me, Tracy Thomas.